welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
You know, Mars might actually be still a good song, good opening bumper music. You know,
yeah, but I really like that Howard Dean scream at the end.
You know, the shot, or to be precise, the Scot, heard round the world.
Yes, indeed.
I was kind of thinking that when we were talking about this a little bit last week, that we would be on the air and they would still be working on the votes because it'd be too close to call.
Yep. Yep.
And although I did predict that he would lose, what has gone on in the last 7 days has been nothing short of amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
From the online money bomb that happened on, Wednesday or Thursday last week?
Yep.
That was on Wednesday. It wasn't even a matter of noticing that the momentum was running his way. This was an avalanche that he was riding on top of.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, at this point, what's the numbers at right now? About 5 or 6 points?
I took the numbers down when she conceded. I'm not sure exactly what they are right now.
So let's figure. I mean, I saw it as high as 7%. I didn't see it anything under 5. 5% is certainly not a landslide, except for the idea that Massachusetts has two times as many Democrats as it does Republicans.
Oh yeah. However,
one by 5% would be in Massachusetts beyond a landslide. That's a Reagan-esque.
Oh yeah. Well, the independents, and you can register as a registered independent in Massachusetts, outnumber both of them.
I don't want to be disrespectful to people in Massachusetts.
Nope.
I mean, after all, they just voted for a conservative, a moderate conservative.
He's your ideal candidate. He's soft and squishy on the social issues. He is a hardline conservative on fiscal and defense.
Right, and about people said, you know, that's about the best we can expect in Massachusetts, and I disagree with that. I think any solid conservative value, principle oriented, candidate can do well anywhere.
Oh yeah, sure.
What I was going to say was, after 47 years, I would suggest to you that there is no state in the union that would say, let's keep this going.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the people of Massachusetts go, can we please just a break? Just 6 years. Let's just give one guy 6 years, and then we'll go back to being a Democrat. But, 57 years with a Kennedy in that seat.
I know. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Here's the thing about this. Before Scott Brown, you could make a case that the Mary Landrieus, the Dick Durbins, the Barbara Boxers, the Harry Reids, well, not Harry Reid, he's a lost cause anyway, but people like that had a shot at winning their races. They had a shot. Maybe not a great one, but they had a shot. At this point, I would think that the momentum is such that people will say, wait a minute, no, we don't like this, and yes, we are going to get rid of them. I think that's going to happen. I think that will happen here in California.
I was with our friend Sue today, who is, you know, Unitarian, who is, you know, very green, who is about as liberal a person as I know in my general life. And we were talking about it at around 3 o'clock this afternoon, 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And she agrees that there is no safe Democratic seat.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you and I, 2 weeks ago, talked about what could happen with the House and the Senate in November.
Yes. Yes, we did.
There are nine Democratic seats up. And only an estimated 4 or 5 of them are in play. There's a real possibility at this point the Dems could lose all 9 of them.
Absolutely. Now, that probably won't happen, but it's going to be a whole lot closer than it would have been.
We could literally see, you know, I suggested as many 40 seats in the House.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that one's out the window.
There's a real possibility. This is why I think that as much as the odds are against 9 Senate seats changing hands, 50 or 60 House seats changing hands, there is one thing that could probably make that happen, and it could happen this week.
Where are you going with that? I'm not sure where we are here.
Tomorrow or Thursday. This is a supposition. This is a scenario. Tomorrow or Thursday, a press conference is called with Obama, Reid, and Pelosi. And Pelosi says that tomorrow morning, the House will come to order, and we will put the Senate version of the health care bill to a vote.
Oh, my God.
Now, she won't do that unless she has the votes. She has the votes, and they ram it through this week. Then I firmly believe that there's not a rock a Democrat can crawl under deep enough, dark enough, not to get caught.
Yep, I agree. I don't think she can get the votes, though.
Well, here's the thing. And she may have, this might be the argument that's being had right now, is we're going to lose 40 seats in November. If we do nothing else right now, if the entire Obama administration agenda locks down right now and nothing else happens, they're going to lose 40 seats. If they lose 40 seats, not doing anything, hang on a second.
Then your scenario is they have to take a shot at it.
They have to do it because they're going to lose it. So if they're going to lose 40 seats anyway, then they may as well get it done so they have it done. Because there's nobody right now that's paying any attention to anything that believes that health care, if it's not passed by the House now, the Senate version, passed by the Senate now, there is nobody that believes that health care will pass this year.
And if it doesn't pass this year, it doesn't pass, period.
If it doesn't pass now, it'll never pass.
That's right.
Never. I'm not talking about not in this administration, not in the next administration. I'm talking about never.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever. We will not be revisiting this in 12, 15, 16 years. We will not.
Nope.
This is over because in the next 15 years, Social Security will be imploding and Medicare is going to be imploding, and the idea that any major program by the federal government that is going to encompass a significant portion of the economy or cost trillions of dollars is going to get passed by anybody, it's just not going to happen.
Well, Tracy, that may be true. I think that they are fools if they try that. But they can try it.
It is quite clear, based upon what's been going on for the last 3 months, that they are quite fool enough.
Yeah.
If it happens, I think people are just going to absolutely go berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what will happen is, I think they'll have the vote, and then I think 20 of them will say they're retiring anyway. Maybe more.
They had best. I mean, they need to take their campaign funds and they need to roll up whatever it is that they got going and they need to just say, you know what, we're done. Because there's no way that they can get reelected. I don't know that there's a way that they can get reelected anyway. But at this point, under your scenario, that doesn't compute for them. And I'm thinking, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here looking at this and saying, Nancy Pelosi, if you try that, your seat is in jeopardy. And she's got one of the safest seats around.
I think at this particular point, if she doesn't try it, her seat's in trouble.
Huh.
See, this is the problem. The reason that Scott Brown did well in Massachusetts is not just because a whole lot of Republicans, a whole lot of conservatives, and a whole lot of independents said, hey, smart guy, we want to see this healthcare thing die. Okay? It's not just, you know, the people that wanted to see healthcare die because it's the wrong thing to do. There's a whole lot of Democrats that are pissed off about this plan because it doesn't do what Obama said it was going to do.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it's right.
From the left side, from the pro-healthcare single-payer program, this is an abomination. It's a piece of crap. And nobody is going to let Reid, Pelosi, or Obama off the hook. The fact that 60 votes in the Senate, majority in the House, and a president in the United States, and they can't get it done. They got a huge problem. You know, they have to try. They have to. There is no choice. You and I and a whole lot of other people are looking up at Nancy Pelosi going, are you insane? Are you nuts? Are you not paying any attention? And the fact of the matter is, I think she's paying a whole lot of attention, and that attention says, if you don't get this done, we don't have any need for you.
Well, yeah, except that they do get it done, and there's no need for them either. And I, you know, there is such a big difference between the House and the Senate version that I don't know that she can get 218 votes. I really don't.
You know, here's the deal. You know, she has to get about 150, you know, Democrats that pretend they have principles.
Yeah.
To cut off their balls, put them in a box, and hand them to her.
Yeah.
You know, but they're facing exactly the same situation. You know, they're going to have to go back to their constituents who put them in this position of a House majority, a Senate, 60 votes, and a Democratic president ready, willing, able, and desiring of this, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
I made a comment earlier on, I don't know, Thursday or Friday. Might have been Saturday. I did a lot of talking on Saturday. about a pretty seriously left gay group. It's a pretty small group, you know, based on a blog and other stuff.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, the gay community in Massachusetts just has to sit at home. And, of course, the liberals were just going like, well, that's ridiculous. What the hell do you mean sit at home? And, of course, you know, you and I had this argument, you know, on our side a year ago. You know, and, you know, I was defending him going, you know, what has he done?
Exactly.
What, you know, he hasn't done anything good for the gay community. As a matter of fact, he's done, you know, he has perpetuated the hated Bush-Hitler, you know, process of continuing to enforce DOMA, you know, by, you know, amicus brief on the judicial, you know, the Department of Justice in a case. So, I mean, he's certainly not doing anything beneficial for the gay community. Certainly they made a big effort to put him in because of those things, and it's not happening. You know, if he can't, you know, if they can't get this done, I can see 10 or 15%, maybe as much as 20% of the Democratic base just going, you know, screw you, we're not even going to show up. And I think that's going to, you know, that plus having, you know, a whole lot of, you know, solid conservative people running for seats, you know, it could just be nightmarish. Now, that said, I said something in our production show that there was a possibility that come December, conservatives might be putting their heads in their hands going, where the hell are we going from here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it possible that this will be the conservatism, that the Tea Party movement, that the anti-Obama train has peaked here today, tonight, and that from here it's all downhill? Is that possible? Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Oh, it's possible. Absolutely.
Economy start doing, you know, big turnaround. you know, other things start falling into place. You know, Israel bombs Iran. Iran falls apart.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the revolution starts having, you know, just about implodes upon itself. I mean, you know, things could go Obama's way over the next 6 or 8 months, and it could really make a big difference in November.
Yep.
There'll be people that will remember this, and if healthcare doesn't get passed, you know, to get into law, they will remember this come November. But if things turn around dramatically, you know, that's going to be a lot of salve on the wounds.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
No, I don't.
You know, I'd put the odds down somewhere around 10.
Yeah, right.
15%.
Yeah. I'm, you know, and it's surprising to me. Well, actually, no, it's not surprising, but it, I think, is instructive to look at who is coming out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, we have actually principled conservatives running for office. I mean, the one that springs immediately to mind is Jesse Bradshaw in Texas. I mean, that lady is conservative. We have Danny Tarkanian over there in Nevada. We've got people up in Colorado. We have got, I mean, we have a ton of people that all of a sudden, and they are conservative, are saying, you know what, we can win. And that's going to snowball. Now,
absolutely.
Yep.
And
now they've got primaries to get through. Absolutely. You betcha. I mean, California is a really great example of that. We've got Chuck DeVore trying to win the GOP primary to run against Barbara Boxer. Opposing him, we have Fiorina, not a conservative. We now have Tom, what's his name, who has jumped into the Senate race, also not a great conservative. So we've got three of them in that race, and, you know, Chuck DeVore needs to win that. And then once he's won that, then he's got to go up against Barbara Boxer.
If California continues to implode, you know, we're,
yep.
There's going to be, come November, there's going to be a lot of politicians out of jobs.
Absolutely. Rush up those resumes, guys and gals.
And they can go, you know, talk to Donald Trump.
I guess. I'm, you know, whoever.
The next Celebrity Apprentice. This year, we have 27 former governors.
Yeah, we do.
18 former senators.
Yeah.
23 former House members.
There you go. And we're going to weed them out.
No, you know,
what a reality show.
This, you know, Scott did what had to be done here.
Yep.
You know, we won't know all the numbers until the morning, but it looks like he's going to more than beat the margin of error on any, you know, stretch of the imagination. That means there's not going to be a recount.
Nope, not going to be.
That means there's not going to be any attempts at stealing, you know, the race. Paul Kirk, according to everything that I've read...
Yeah?
Is officially out of a job today.
You know, I read that, and I thought that that was really interesting. It will be really interesting to see what the Dems do with that. But there's some there's some really high powered legal minds that have looked at Senate procedures, have looked at the Senate precedences, have looked at Massachusetts state law, and they are all saying Paul Kirk's out of a job. Now,
as of right now.
Yeah, right now. Well, tomorrow. But yes.
Yes.
Right now.
He gets paid for today.
He gets paid for today. That's it.
That's it.
yeah.
So, you know, effectively right now, you know, Reed is facing 59.
Yes.
You know, 59 votes.
Yes, he
and
is.
That's why I think that they have zero choice. They have no choice at this point. Either Obama, Reed, and Pelosi get on, you know, the podium in the next 2 days and say that based on yesterday's or 2 days ago's, you know, election results and the difficulty we're having in being able to get the Republicans to do anything on health care, they'll blame it on the Republicans.
Yeah,
that we are having to put aside health care reform for the moment. We'll, you know, come back at it after we work on some other things, and then he announces something, anything that he can get passed.
You know, there is an alternative to that scenario.
Oh,
Senator Snow spent a couple of hours at the White House today.
Yeah, Boy Voinovich did too.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure that we're out of the woods here yet. But
now, wouldn't it be interesting if we had one more defection going to the Democratic side?
Oh, yes, it would.
And let me tell you, political suicide that would be.
Yes. It would. Isn't Voinovich up this year?
I'm sorry?
Isn't Voinovich up this year?
I mean,
doesn't his term end this year?
Yes, he does.
And
from my friend Tom Bloomer at BusyBlog, he's got a problem.
Hmm.
Or is he even running?
I don't know. Well, no. I mean, it may be that he's not running, but he hasn't announced that yet. And either Snow or her compatriot are up for re-election this year. And I don't remember which one.
Well, that, you know, I don't know if they've got any competition going in there, but, you know, you got, you know, any rhinos at this particular point are not safe either.
Mm-mm. No, they aren't. No, I mean, this anger goes all the way across the board. This is not your usual party identification thing. I mean, this race was won via the Tea Partiers and the Independents and some Dems. Not a lot, but some. I've heard up to 20% in Massachusetts.
I just like the fact that at this particular point in time, you know, he came from virtually nowhere.
Yep. 30 points down.
He has literally shaken the political party system in this country right to its very foundation.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Good job, dude.
Absolutely. And I think that we have also put to rest that whole shibboleth of, oh, the GOPers are not a party of the big tent. I think that's dead.
I had lots of conversations with libs going, you know, Martha Kolke may not have been good, but she was better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically said, why? Why do you think she's better than the alternative? Because all she's going to do is, you know, Obama say jump, she's going to say how high.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There certainly wasn't going to be any particular interest in serving, you know, the people of Massachusetts. This would be serving, you know, head, lord, and master, you know, Barack Obama.
Yep.
Darth Bobby.
Yep. And knowing that she had 6 years.
Right. Which meant that she would get, you know, be safe from 2012.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, the other side was, you know, I had people coming to me and saying, you know, he's not exactly your kind of conservative. And the right. He stands slightly left of my position. He does support civil unions.
Yep.
The abortion issue never even came up, so I don't know that there's any particular issue there, but I don't have an issue. My opinion is that the abortion issue should be out of politics altogether at this point, so state, local, federal, across the board, it's a non-issue. But his general position, and I agree, is that marriage should not be at a federal level.
Yeah.
You know, he's flat said it should be a state's issue.
Yes,
now,
that
just warms my cockles.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he can sit there and say I'm opposed to gay marriage at the state level, but I don't think we should be doing anything at the federal level. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that works for me.
Well, sure. I mean, it is odd to me that anybody can look at that issue and say, oh yeah, unless you're a lib, oh yeah, we need to have the federal government involved in this. This is absolutely an issue that is a state issue.
I had a guy over the weekend that just drove me crazy.
Oh, yeah?
For the first time in my life in the last 2 years, I've had a conservative, you know, put a hand up in my face and said, we're done. I'm not interested in talking to you anymore. Get out of my face.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm sitting there going, crushed. I was just absolutely destroyed.
Yes, I'm sorry. God.
You know, it was driving me crazy. It was absolutely driving me crazy. He does certainly more harm than good because he's a social conservative. Hey, he's so far to the right, he's bumping into the ass of the lefties.
There you go.
So,
God.
Look, I think for Massachusetts, for a Senate seat, I think Scott Brown had just about a solid Tracy conservative record.
Yep.
I couldn't find anything, you know, in particular to fault it with. People don't understand the concept of federalism. I don't know why. You and I have run across hundreds, maybe a thousand conservatives that still don't get the idea of conservatism.
Oh, yeah.
There are certainly millions of people out there that think that the federal government has every right in the world to interfere with individual rights because, of course, that's what God wants.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and I said, you know, the only difference between, you know, the only difference between the social conservative today and the classical conservative of 240 years ago is who they call king.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
That's the only difference. Now, so, let's put this into perspective.
Okay.
This was a huge win.
Oh yeah! Hey, there's some perspective for you.
this was not one local race that the Democrats can puff off and go,
nope.
It didn't mean much.
No.
Nope. This meant a lot.
This meant a lot to Obama.
Huh. This meant a lot to Reid. This meant a lot to the left. And what amazes me, and I just couldn't get past this, and maybe it's because I've never been, you know, I've been in Boston, I've been in Massachusetts, I've been on Cape Cod. Not an appreciable length of time.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
You know.
You didn't get infected then.
No.
Yeah,
and, you know,
okay.
We camped on Cape Cod for 3 days.
Cool.
Very nice place called Peter's Pond.
Uh-huh.
And great place. And we spent time, you know, on Cape Cod, and we saw some things. We were in Provincetown. But I just couldn't get past the idea. And I really believe that that this was probably worth 5, maybe as much as 10 points in this race. That Massachusetts would fill the Kennedy seat. Kennedy protege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The idea of letting a Kennedy Senate seat, and that I'm saying that exactly because, it, you know, despite what Scott Brown said, the idea that anybody other than a Democrat could sit in the Kennedy seat.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine that Massachusetts would do that. That there would be enough people in Massachusetts that would, in some way, not allow that to happen. That, you know, that was worth 5 to 10 points just by itself against Scott Brown being able to get into that position. It appears that that's not true.
Yeah.
It appears that that's not true.
Apparently not.
So, if it's not enough to, you know, do one for the Gipper, well, actually,
mm-hmm.
what I used to call was one for the Dipper.
Yeah.
If they weren't going to do it for the Dipper, and they weren't going to do it for health care, they certainly weren't going to do it for Obama.
No.
You know, and this is another... Let's take this into, you know, what impact this has on Obama? My answer is not a whole lot. However,
yeah.
he and his handlers have now put him into three positions, three places where he didn't have any business being. They sent him to Copenhagen for the weather thing, for the climate summit.
Yep.
That was falling apart. He should have stayed out there.
Oh yeah.
You know, every second.
We are following this with interest.
Yes. He should have stayed. They should have kept him out of there for.
Oh yeah.
You know, there should have been no reason in the world. Copenhagen for the Chicago Olympics. That was clusterfuck. I'm sorry.
Yep.
That was just absolute, you know, minor league stupid bullshit.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was willing to concede that, in fact, well, they just maybe need to get their legs under them. It's only been, what, 6 or 7 months since they've been elected, you know. Copenhagen should have been, the climate summit should have been a second, you know, example, a slap on the back of the head going, cut this out.
Yep.
And people can set it over the weekend. Obama will not go up to Massachusetts unless there's evidence that he being there would be enough to get her over the top.
Yes. Yep.
5 or 7 percentage points, Obama didn't have a chance of doing anything for her.
Nothing. Well, and not only that, I mean, not only did he not have a chance, but the speech he gave was so off-key. It was so lackluster. It was...
Why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what did he hope to accomplish? Because it certainly wasn't to get her elected. He had an opportunity to bash Bush. He took that. He had an opportunity to insult every truck owner in the world, and he took that.
Talk about that, because that's really good.
I mean, to tell people in Massachusetts or in any area that relies on pickup trucks that, well, you got to look under the hood. I mean, hello? Excuse me? I'm sorry, I've got a pickup truck. And by the way, Scott Brown can borrow mine anytime he wants to. You know, I mean, that's stupid. What did he hope to accomplish with that line? Because that's how presidential scripts have to be scripted. Every line in it has to be to a purpose. And he had none. Or at least if there was one, I sure couldn't discern it.
Yeah, I think it is clear that he thinks that his mere presence, his mere words can move mountains.
Yep. Yep.
And I said this to somebody today, I don't know if you saw it. I said, Mr. Obama, when Leonardo DiCaprio was sitting on the bow of the Titanic going, I'm the king of the world, he was on a doomed ship.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and he doesn't get it. He certainly doesn't get it that while, you know, good looks and a smart voice and, you know, hoping and changing might actually get him into the presidency, once he's there, Obama is like the dog that caught the car.
Oh, Lord.
Now what? You know,
exactly.
As his teeth are wrapped around the bumper and he's being dragged down the street, you know, now what?
Yeah, exactly.
And this administration is not going the direction that he thinks it's going.
You know, and that surprises me. I mean, it truly does. Rahm Emanuel and Dave Axelrod, for however much we may revile them, are not stupid. They aren't.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Okay.
Okay. I want to tell you something that let's see if I can put it in a way that makes some sense. When I was in basic training in the Air Force, one of the things that they did was they rotated squad leaders.
Okay.
So that anybody that they had an inkling that had something going on between their ears ended up as a squad leader for at least a couple of days, you know, maybe a week, until they found something to get rid of them and move them on.
Okay.
Some people were squad leaders for like a half a day.
Ah, okay, sure.
Peter
Principle at work here.
Right, and it was a way to, you know, to weed out and see where things were going. And I got weeded out because I didn't yell enough.
Ah, okay.
I know that's hard for most of you to believe.
But nevertheless, okay.
But basically what I did was I just turned and said, you know, get your shit together or I'm going to get your shit together for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, everyone was scared of me, so, you know, I didn't get any crap from anybody.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, I just looked mean and, you know, everyone did what I told them to do. And, of course, that's not what they wanted. They wanted some. That was their excuse. I didn't yell enough. That's fine.
Okay.
Over and over again, I have met people in the military and in the business world who are stellar, absolutely incredible workers, but not leaders.
Got you. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that too.
You can put them in a group and say, do this, and they can lead that group doing that.
Yep.
In amazing ways.
Yep.
I'm beginning to think more and more that Barack Obama has surrounded himself with a whole lot of people who do really, really well under strong leadership.
Well, now that's interesting.
And, of course, Barack Obama has all the leadership qualities of a rock.
Yeah. A moss-covered rock.
So,
you know, that's an interesting observation. And I hadn't, because I'm not up on Illinois politics, which is where Rahm and Axelrod come out of, I hadn't thought about that aspect of it, but you might be onto something there. I mean, if they are the kind of people that you give them a specific task, and they will go out and they will move heaven and earth to get that task done and will mostly get that done, that's one thing. But when you put them in a position where you say, oh gosh, it'd be nice to have this or that, all of a sudden, they're at loose ends because they don't have specific marching orders.
Right. They lack the leadership. They're really, really good lieutenants.
Yep.
Really, really shitty generals.
Yep.
And what you've got is a lieutenant, a second Louis, running a whole lot of first lieutenants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you know... Because it just doesn't make sense. You and I have talked about this all year. It just doesn't make sense. He's doing stupid, naive, ridiculously minor league crap, and it's happening over and over and over again. And it just doesn't make sense.
No,
there
it doesn't.
There are people that would tell him, going, you know, you can't give her a DVD player.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's somebody there that says, you can't do that. You know, who's been there for like 30 years and knows better.
Exactly. Saying, you can't do that. You've got to give her a gift of comparable value here. I mean, look at what they gave
you.
Yeah.
You cannot bow to the emperor. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah. Dumb.
And this thing, when he said it, when I heard what he said, you know, anybody can buy a truck, I went, No, you didn't just say that.
Yeah,
you just
did.
Yeah. There's 7 million people less working now than there was a year ago. There's 7 million people that can't go out and buy a truck.
Yeah. Of any sort or description, running or not.
Of course, Brown is driving a goddamn GM.
Yeah, exactly.
People are not buying GMs because it's government orders. Anybody can go buy a General Motors truck.
Yeah.
No, and nobody wants to either.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and, you know, I guess the other funny part about that is, and I read this, I think, on Twitter, but it's certainly true. You would think that the guy who heads up GM, because that's effectively Barack Obama at this point, you'd think that he'd be out there trying to sell trucks. You know?
Think about this. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that was just kind of... That was just kind of the observation that, you know, he wouldn't be trying to run down somebody with his truck. He'd be saying, gosh, isn't it great that this guy's got a GM truck? Boy, don't they last a long time.
No, and that's the whole thing. He can't say that because
he's
in the Northeast. He's talking to a liberal group.
Yep.
Who the hell wants to buy a truck?
Mm.
They're liberals. Mm. They're Northeast liberals. They want to buy Yugos.
Yeah, okay. I called them pansy cars, with no offense to pansy friends, but, you know, that's kind of what they are. They're pansy cars.
Okay, we haven't even gotten to Martha Coakley's.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to go there. You know, frankly, I'm not going to go there. We could spend an entire hour talking about the stupidity of that woman. That woman is not tone deaf. That woman is just plain deaf.
Yeah, play, period. Tones or not, doesn't make any difference whatsoever. And besides that, it doesn't matter, because Scott Brown won.
That's right. It's
yep.
over!
Yay!
It's
yay.
Over!
Oh,
all right.
Man.
So, now, the perspective is this was a big deal. The left is going to... sometime in the next 24 hours, come out of their shock. Because let me tell you, from what I'm seeing online right now, the left has just simply gone dumbfounded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're totally
left
immoral.
Left is absolutely quiet. I normally see 8 or 9 people from the left that are just going at it whole hog, you know, every single night. I haven't seen any of them tonight.
Nope.
You know, not a word. It's just
I've gotten a couple of them, and that's it. Actually,
so
one.
They've gone quiet, so they're all shell shocked at this particular point in time. I'm absolutely convinced that Barack Obama is going to come out swinging tomorrow or the next day, right after they clean up the mess in the Oval Office, because you know I don't believe that man has the ability to keep his temper in check forever. And I think right now he's just pissed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He is.
And there's every
indication. But you know what? It's his own damn fault, one. Two, there's not a damn thing he can do about it.
Yeah, because nobody's gonna buy into the idea that Bush did it.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. No, no, no. Yeah,
you know, and he doesn't have to throw Coakley under the bus. She just laid down in the middle of the street all by herself.
Oh yeah, right. Let that bus run right over. Actually, somebody on Twitter said it. Somebody saw Martha Coakley running around with big wide tire tracks on her back. I think that was a reference to the truck, but it could have been the bus. Yeah, could have been the bus.
Barack Obama, sometime in the next 24, 48 hours. You know, and the left is going to come out of their stupor for tonight.
Yep.
And I really do think what's going to happen is that they're going to ram it down in the House, and because they have got to shock their own troops back into
some kind of action.
They've got to shock them now, because otherwise, this is going to rest upon them for a while.
Oh, yeah.
If the health care bill starts getting manipulated in the House, They're going to drag this out for another 2 months, and every race between now and the end of March, you know, will fall like dominoes.
Yes. And that's when the primaries are.
Right.
Yeah.
And so my opinion is that it's either this week or the tonight will be compounded again and again and again over the next 2 months.
Yep.
To the point where Obama's base is going to be so demoralized that
yep.
we're going to see constant defections, retirements.
Yep.
That's just going to continue that downward spiral.
Yep.
And
you know, you said something there that triggered a memory that I have, and I think I first saw it on Twitter, but it might have been a Tea Party sign. And the sign said, "You shove it down our throat in 2010, in 2009, we're going to shove it up your ass in 2010. And
oh,
I
yeah.
think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, we just kicked an opening in the ass pants right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah. That was just the opening love tap.
But, yeah, so I think they don't have any real choice. They've got to do something to shock their base.
Yes.
And keep them, one, keep them in line, but also show them that they are not demoralized by this.
Huh.
Obama will certainly take no lessons from this, none whatsoever, other than maybe he has let Pelosi and Reid have too much free rein on his agenda,
uh-huh.
and they're destroying it, and so now he needs to take over and take control.
Oh, Lord, now there's going to be a disaster of epic proportions.
Which I think is just a wonderful idea.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just a slam dunk idea.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yes, indeed. God, please do that.
All right. We've got 6 minutes, and there's some things that have come up that I do want to touch bases on.
Okay.
Beyond this wonderful gift today.
Yes.
Haiti.
Man, what a disaster.
Okay. Anybody that can, please put some money on the table, send it
yep.
down there.
American Red Cross, Salvation
water,
Army.
Anything like that, send them money.
Yep.
Do
that's
not
what they
send
need right now.
Anybody else than probably the Red Cross. Frankly,
yep.
that's the only place that I'd send the money is the Red Cross anyways.
Salvation Army's
it,
been there.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about anybody else. Haiti, for me, is of no particular consequence. We've dumped a couple $1 billion into there. That place is a swamp. It's going to be a swamp, you know, when we're done.
Yep.
You know, we can drop another $100 billion into trying reconstructing that place. It's going to be a swamp then.
Yep.
So I don't know that I'm going to have a whole lot of, you know, I'd like to see the suffering stop from the earthquake.
Yep.
Which means, you know, get the rubble picked up, give them lots of food and water, give them a blank check for $100 billion, and then basically come back home and don't worry about it.
Yep. I agree.
Because, you know, they'll just assume rob us as thank us for, you know, whatever we bring down there.
Well, and
but
I mean, you know, I'm...
For the moment, the next 30 days, I think we can do a lot of good things down there.
Yes, we can.
And I think at that point we should be doing so, and that's fine.
And you might notice it's our military that's doing that.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. I do recognize that there are, in fact, some bad things happening down there. It's not being reported too much by our press because our press wants to give Obama going, he's doing a bang-up job in, you know, in Haiti, unlike Bush did in
Katrina.
Katrina.
Right. Yeah.
So, while we didn't hear a single good thing for 10 days out of Katrina by the mainstream press, I don't think we're going to hear a single bad thing from the mainstream press out of Haiti. for the next 10 days. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing stuff from other countries reporting about what's going on down there.
Yeah.
I don't think all the bad things that they're reporting have anything to do with us whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the situation and the circumstances. But that said, I'm certain that whatever people thought Bush did wrong, Katrina is being done wrong in Haiti too.
Yep.
Such
That's
is the nature
true.
Of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. You know? I mean, just everybody needs to recognize that when you have disasters of those proportions, people are going to screw up. And the best you can hope for is that you can ameliorate those screw-ups.
Not make them worse.
Not make them worse.
And we've found that Obama is really, really good at that, so as long as we can keep him out of there, that's fine.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. You know, there's... Let me talk about global warming for just a few moments.
Okay. Yeah, my favorite subject.
We have talked about the fact that our prediction is that global warming shall die. It'll take another 7-8 years for it to actually be officially declared dead.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new book, the first book out, called The CRU Tape Letters.
Oh, boy.
Or if you want to read it the way it's spelled, it's the Screw Tape Letters. Kind of a take off of C.S. Lewis's nice little book of interest. It looks like, based on some of the things that are going to be said, that NASA is going to be in trouble.
Yep.
As
is the CIA.
My problem is this with NASA, okay? This is one of the cases where I do want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I actually do want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to keep the bathtub.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so that we can refill it and use it again. That's a perfectly good institution as long as we can get rid of the politics and Hansen out of there and get back to doing science.
Yes. What a novel idea. God, why don't we just do science?
Science. It's an amazing thing because there's every possibility that we might be, in fact, heading into a new ice age. And
yes.
In this case, you and I are safe, but CJ's screwed.
Yes, she is.
So, to let everyone know, we are considering moving. Oh,
yes,
you already know that, right?
Yeah, we know that. The San Diego area.
No,
maybe.
Not San Diego.
No, not San Diego.
We're thinking about somewhere else. I'm not going to say where.
Okay.
We're thinking about somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you, it's not warm.
Oh, Lord.
Pray for me.
You lost that argument, huh?
You got 30 seconds. Do your shout-outs, dude.
Oh, just me, Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, and I got a new one that was maybe listening tonight, but I don't remember their name now. Anyway, thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed it.
We have 2 weeks before the next thing goes off, so next week we'll start talking about the future again.
Hey, again.
Bill, you have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. You too, Tracy.
We are in the green room.
Hey, cool. Okay.
Now,
I am really intrigued with your idea that Pelosi is going to try to push that thing through.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I don't think she can get the 218.
Well, I think the argument that I have to make is what I was saying earlier.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose in November.
Yes, they are.
They're going to have lots of defections over the next 8 months, and I don't mean people switching from Democrat to Republican. I mean people that are going to continue to retire. There might be a defection here and there, but I think for the most part it's going to be retirements. That said, I don't think they have any choice. I think she has no choice. It's either push it through now, whether it's now or otherwise. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think the show is gone. I think the green room's gone.
Oh, is it really?
Everything just went blank on me. I don't even show that you're there.
I'm here. I'm. Huh. Well, let's see. I've still got Blog Talk Radio up. I don't know. I'm thinking it's still going because we didn't hear the you're gone thing. So I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Well, let's finish at least the thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't think she has any choice. Her choice. She's going to lose the House.
Yes, she is.
In November.
Yes, she is.
And whether she loses it to the point where she's no longer Speaker, and the Republicans take over the House.
Excellent possibility.
Excellent possibility. Or she loses enough that nothing can be passed without Republicans being involved in it, which I think is not even a possibility, which is it's a certainty at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's losing the House, one way or the other. There's nothing else that'll be done. We're going into election season, so they're all but hamstrung April or May at the latest. If they don't get something done between now and the end of March, now and Easter, I think they're done.
Well, and see, that's the thing I keep coming back to. I mean, I've got basically three arrows in my quiver. One, I don't know that she can get to 218. Just based on Blue Dogs versus Progressives in the Democratic caucus. Two, she knows that she's going to lose. But her knowing that she's going to lose and each of those individual representatives saying, you know what, I can save my ass here. All I have to do is vote no. Then I'm okay. And the third arrow is, If she tries and fails, she's destroyed herself as Speaker. And I don't think she's going to do that.
I think she sees the writing on the wall and she's got nothing to lose.
Yeah. You know what? Time is going to tell. One of us is going to be right on this. And my prognostication is they figure out some way to keep that off the agenda to avoid a loss.
Certainly that would be the smartest thing for them to do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The next 2 or 3 days to simply say, you know, we're shelving health care.
Yep.
Because that will be, in their opinion, a poke in the eye of everybody that voted for Scott Brown today.
Yep.
Ha ha, you voted for him and now it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
yeah.
Both of us are going to go, ha ha ha, doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Jeez. So, and then it becomes biblical epics. Just, God.
The smart thing for them would be to do is to shelve it. And so far, none of the three of them have shown any propensity to do anything smart.
Yep. Oh,
so
I
don't
agree.
Expect that.
Yep.
And Obama is too much of a fighter and too ego-oriented to take this anything other than, you know, as a fuck you and I'm going to, you know, come back out swinging.
Well.
You know,
we're going to find out.
Then we find out exactly, you know, how much the Speaker of the House mm-hmm. actually follows the orders of the President of the United States. Now, before mm-hmm. anybody gives me all kinds of crap about the fact that, you
yeah,
know,
right.
for all practical purposes, in its original intent, the President of the United States and the Speaker of the House are, in fact, equals.
Yep.
Running their own respective branches of the government. We know that that's not, in fact, an accurate representation. And when the President says, this is what I want to have done, basically the House and the Senate go, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, that's not possible, sir, because we don't have the votes.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they don't say is, screw you, I'm going to take my house where I want to go.
Exactly.
So if Obama actually comes out swinging and she actually goes, yes, sir, figuratively, literally,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
body language-wise,
yeah, right.
Then she tries to jam it down her she has to. She has to. She's got a lose-lose-lose scenario.
Oh, man. Yeah.
If she tries, she loses. If she doesn't
yeah.
try, she loses.
She loses. Yeah.
You know?
And if somebody
takes it out of her hand, she loses.
Absolutely. I mean, because that was the third scenario. If Obama says, you're going to go for it, and she loses, hell. Doesn't even matter whether she wins or loses. Not only is she screwed, but he's screwed too. The other thing is, this is an election year. I mean, those people have got to be looking at their races. They have to be.
You know, how stupid has the management of this process been to put themselves into a position, you know, coming into primary season, where the primary piece of legislation that they started 7 months ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, is being dragged into the primaries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this thing was supposed to be done in August. Then it was supposed to be done by
October,
Christmas.
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, man, this thing is an albatross around their necks. And it isn't going
great?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I mean, I suppose if I was a P2 Dem, I wouldn't be. But Lord, those people. I mean, this is the last thing in the world I want if I'm running as a Dem for anything. I can't even begin to fathom that.
This is lose 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 cubed.
Yep. It certainly is.
Pelosi loses all three possible scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Obama loses all three possible scenarios. Reed
yep.
has already lost two. He can only be faced with one more. Because if it comes back to him, he's dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't care what happens in the Senate. The fact if it just comes back to him.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
loses. So, the only smart thing is to cut and run, and I don't think Obama's got it in him.
Well, yeah,
I don't think
he does either. And in a larger sense, God, that is too bad for America. You know. I mean, that's just, at some point in time, you got to realize that you're trying to do something that the most people in the United States of America don't want, and you need to back off, and he's not.
Well,
and that's
know,
just sad.
You know, for a very long period of time when Bush was president, people said, you know, he can't apologize, you know, simply because, and of course, I would say he can't apologize because politically he can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think, you know, Bush did, in many ways, apologize when, you know, he screwed up.
Yes, he did.
Nobody paid a whole lot of attention to those, you know, particular apologies. But I think, you know, the fact of the matter is that when he said this is what we're going to do and then he backed off, you know, that was an acknowledgement that, okay, not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama has spent a whole lot of time apologizing over the past year, but he's certainly done no apologizing for himself.
Nope. No, no. He's been apologizing for America to other countries and insulting our allies.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible for him to be able to do it.
I think you may be right. And that's sad, too. I mean, God.
You know, somebody once said this to me, and I took it to heart, and it really got me into a lot of trouble with Victoria for a very long time. And the phrase is, and it's in the context of retail,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry is the cheapest form of restitution you can offer.
Absolutely. God, absolutely.
90% of the time, if you can go to somebody and get them to believe, in fact, that you are sorry, situation is done.
It's over.
Now fix whatever it is, and yep. Everyone's going to be perfectly happy. Now, I said that to her. I said, you know, I'm sorry is the cheapest form of restitution. And she took it as, you know, it's cheap. It doesn't cost me anything.
Oh,
you know,
got it.
And I said, you know, that's not true at all. It cost me a lot to say I'm sorry, but the fact of the matter is, you know, not saying I'm sorry is a lot more expensive in all kinds of ways.
In all kinds of ways. I mean, God is an attorney. She ought to know that.
So, she you know, for about the first 10 years of us together, I said, I'm sorry, and she goes, cheapskate.
Yeah.
Is that the best you can do? I mean, I heard, you know, I can't tell you what it comes to. Is that the best you can do? I'm sorry. I've heard it before. Thanks. No thanks.
Yeah, jeez. Exactly.
Anyways. Oh, Obama, you know, boy, is he going to learn that there are a lot more expensive ways to say not say I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and
he
if
is.
Martha Coakley, and if Martha Coakley, I don't really believe this, but if she wakes up alive tomorrow morning, and we're not in Japan. She needs to go to Arlington Cemetery, and they need to find her there.
Yeah,
no, that's,
exactly.
That's not what I mean. No.
Yeah.
Not what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, find her there alive. I want to be there apologizing to Ted.
Yeah.
You know. Who I did say that tonight, Ted Kennedy was finally laid to rest.
Yes, he was.
We don't have to worry ever again about somebody saying, we've got to do this for Ted.
Oh, yeah. No, that's done. That is done. Yeah, absolutely.
Roll
I'm letting
over.
Dogs in here.
Huh? Oh, letting
I dogs said,
in.
Yeah, I'm letting dogs in. Come on, Jill. Hurry up. There she goes. Good
All
girl.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
Tracy, have a really good one.
We got a rain. We got a ice storm coming in 2 days.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be getting that weather system that hit us.
So, that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. You'll live through it.
We'll live through it. All
yes,
right, Phil. You have a good week.
Okay.
And
you too,
everyone
Tracy.
Else, if you're still with us, we'll talk to you next.
All righty. Good night now.
Bye.